You are at home preparing for a quiet evening after your night prayers. Life is hard, but at least your family is together. Then, without warning, armed men storm into your village. They yell commands you can barely process. Panic sweeps through your body like fire. You run into the darkness, heart pounding, hoping, praying to escape. But the night offers no shield. They find you, they drag you out, and from this moment, life as you knew it changes completely. Welcome to Vestiges of Violence. Here, we talk about survivors. For Human Angle, I am Sabika. Huraira Abu is a 45-year-old mother of 10. She's from Lillaba, a village in Batagarawa local government area of Katsina State, northwest Nigeria. For years, her family has lived through the insecurity plaguing the region. Terrorists raiding villages, killing men, abducting women, stealing livestock and everything of value. Huraira had heard the stories many times, but nothing could have prepared her for the night they came for her. It was just after the Muslim night prayers when the armed men stormed her community, screaming for people to come out of their homes. Huraira, like many others, tried to hide, but they searched every corner, found her, and ordered her to join a group of captives they were assembling. There were 21 women in total, including Huraira and her sisters-in-law. They were forced to march into the darkness, walking from 8 p.m. until nearly 11 a.m. the following day. When they rested, it was only for moments before they were forced to keep moving. When they finally stopped, they were deep inside the forest, surrounded by towering trees and huge rocks that shielded them from sight. Somewhere there was a makeshift shelter where they spent the next 3 weeks under constant watch.
We lay on the bare ground with nothing over ourselves. There were no mats, no mattresses, not even sacks, just rocks and dust. They tied our hands and only untied us when we wanted to ease ourselves.
Life in captivity was a test of endurance. The abductors provided them with food to cook once a day. Everyone had a few morsels and a bottle of water they could refill. But there were no toilets, only the bush. There were worms crawling on the ground where they slept. Huraira says they were treated with a mix of cruelty and calculated manipulation. The abductors threatened them constantly. They said Huraira should be grateful they were lenient because of her age, but there was nothing merciful about the ordeal. They were tied up every day, untied only when they needed to relieve themselves, and then tied again. Among the captives were two pregnant women and two breastfeeding mothers, and Huraira pleaded with the abductors to show mercy for the sake of the children. The men took everything from them. They raided their homes before dragging them away. Then the negotiations began. The kidnappers demanded 50 million naira and warned that if their families failed to bring the ransom, they would be killed.
They said either the ransom was brought or they would kill us. I kept begging them to be patient. I told them things are hard now. People don't have money like before. We've lost everything already. But they said we know. We are the ones who took your property. But however they are going to find this money, they must bring it.
The families scrambled to raise money. Days and weeks dragged on, and Huraira prayed constantly, placing her trust in God. Finally, after 3 weeks, the kidnappers agreed to release some captives in exchange for 4 million naira, far less than the original demand, but still a crushing amount for the poor farming families. 10 women, including Horera, were freed first. 2 days later, after an additional 400,000 naira was paid, the remaining captives were released.
When they released us, it was a Friday night around 11 p.m. They took us on motorcycles to a town near Lalaba and told us to walk the rest of the way. We walked until 3 a.m. before we reached the town where people were waiting to take us home. When day broke, we left in cars.
The reunion was overwhelming, Horera says. The crowd that gathered when she returned home was bigger than what you'd see even at a funeral. Neighbors wept. Her children clung to her, crying uncontrollably. It was a scene of relief and heartbreak all at once. But survival after captivity came with new struggles. Horera and her family had lost everything. Before the attacks became rampant, she sold food and did tailoring to support her household, but her business soon collapsed.
I used to sew, but my daughter started using the machine, so I left it for her. I thought I would buy another one later. Then insecurity worsened and everything changed.
Today, her husband farms to feed the family, but it is barely enough. 3 of her children are still in school. The others are married or trying to run small businesses, and Horera wants to restart her business now, but she needs capital. It has been a year and a half since her release. The security situation in the area has somewhat improved, she says, since they can sleep in their homes now, but the scars remain, and the memories of those 3 weeks in the bush haunt her. Horera says what hurts the most is not just what happened to her, but what insecurity has taken from her family, their properties, their peace, and the life they once knew. This episode was reported and scripted by Sabik Abello. Multimedia editor is Anthony Asamota, and executive producer is Ahmed Salkeda. In order to protect the identities of survivors, we use voice actors for this episode. If you or anyone you know have a story to share on Vestiges of Violence, do not hesitate to get in touch with us.